It's Cat Hart this week on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above UNR campus. The golden arches of McDonald's all over the city, and the beautiful new Arlington Bridge, it's finally fucking open! It's the Worst Little Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Ramirez, joined by my good friend, Dogwater Dick, and the fabulous sounds of Cat Hart. Can you dig it?
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Nick, you live next to the bridge. How is the... I haven't even been down there yet, but I heard
smooth.
It's all the way open.
Smooth,
is
baby.
Is it? Does it look any different on the underside or the structure of it?
Yeah. The railings are new.
Does it have like the suspension things like the Virginia Street Bridge does?
What do you mean suspension?
The arch thing that holds all the stuff up.
Oh, I didn't really get to examine it too much. I just drove down it, so I only saw the top of it. You know, I'm driving over it, so.
So the just sides, flat. The it new looks railings. The same,
it's yeah, I mean
basically.
It's a bridge. Right. Ooh. But
I don't know. I'm excited.
It's not like the Virginia Street with the big fucking, you know, arches over the.
Yeah, that's the what I was talking about.
Yeah,
it doesn't
no,
have
it's
that.
Nothing fancy okay. like that. No.
I haven't been down there the in so long. I saw it when the old one was torn down, but I haven't seen it since they were building the new one.
Right, and I've been like, I love to go to the island. Like, Wainfield is one of my favorite spots. Is that open now?
Oh, it's fucking slammed, man. I drove by there, and I just, like, fucking swimsuits and people
everybody.
In the river. Yeah,
yeah the river's everybody's getting be, the river time.
Well, it's 90 degrees outside, though, so it doesn't matter how cold the river is, right?
Yeah,
right.
And summer, it's summertime for everybody. I call them the kids, but they're, you know, 20, 30, 40 years old.
Right. There's like,
and then the kid, real kids, too.
Right. I mean, it's just hella fun that you can just for free go jump. People are all go jump in the river, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice great. Down there, man. It's really, they did a good job cleaning it up, finally. It was so inconvenient for me because I use that road all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody gets used to not using it. So now it's nice and, like, open. Usually I have to look for traffic to, like, get onto it and... No, it's like people don't even know it's open yet.
Well, I was just there like 2 weeks ago and it was closed, so I didn't know it was open. You're telling me. I'm like, oh, now I know where I'm going.
Yeah, finally, you can use that route again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn,
so that's good. And I don't know if they're going to be doing Sierra or not. I think that's what the Eddie was saying, that they want to move before the bridge thing. And
fuck the Eddie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we're all
but
like,
let's be real.
Yeah, what you've proposed is preposterous, sir.
$1.
Yeah.
$1.
And for what? For to sell alcohol? No. That's no.
No,
thank you. That's basis for everybody, all ages, by the way. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
we're not, and I'm glad. I think the city got the fucking message and was like, oh yeah, we're not doing that. We're not even gonna vote on it. Fuck it.
Wait, no, what are you talking about?
We're sorry.
You've been under a rock, man.
Yeah. No, I've had my head down. I've had a cold for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't done shit or looked around or anything.
Well, so I guess the owner of the Eddie or his wife or somebody's on the board for the city, right?
Yeah, the owner. Yeah.
The owner is. And so because they're getting ready to like face, you know, this construction project outside their business, which is going to potentially limit, you know, whoever's going to come there, they literally proposed to rent out the Believe Plaza for $1 for a whole year and use that as their new space to set up a bar.
With the renewal option of like for 5 years, with renewal option for like three more times for like a total of 20 years.
Yeah, for $1 a year. $1 a year. Are you fucking kidding me? Like,
damn.
What a blatant, like, just, that is so corrupt.
I mean,
corruption.
He makes plenty of money where he's at. Just like, what makes you special that you need, you know?
Yeah, what about all the other businesses that to deal with construction in the
city?
We
didn't let the Mapes stay there. Why would we let you stay there?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking like my favorite fuss spot is on Kitski, Fakitsky, right? And they had that big old construction in front of them. I know they like how many businesses, the whole Virginia Street. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Like every other business in town has to deal with construction at some point. Fucking deal with it. You don't get to take over a public space. I mean, it'd be different if he was offering like a fair price. Maybe that, yeah, I mean, yeah. We still wouldn't want to do it.
Help the city out like exponentially or something.
Right.
In writing. But those this two like, good to be true things are never true.
No. And I mean, like at least I could have a little respect for the attempted offer, even if I still disagreed with it.
Yeah.
If it was a real price. But are you pissing in our Cheerios $1 for a year? $1 for a year?
Well, not just that. Like, everybody is struggling with all of our rents skyrocketing every day. Our rents have tripled over the last 10 years. And you get to do what?
Yeah.
Like with your success and your power? Like, yeah. That's fucking ridiculous.
I mean,
ridiculous.
What are you renting the space out? Behind the Riverside where I live, and I would love the Eddie to not be there, to be like just personally, but right. I think it's good for the city to have a place for people to go and drink in the open,
get watered down cocktails.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and be like outside with each other.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I do like that it's like an outdoor bar, right? They got the little hammock chairs and the games. I was a fan until all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I used to be like, okay, I'll pay for a watered down cocktail. It's fine. Yeah. Probably need the extra water and the heat anyway, but
it just feels so
like, just
arrogant,
fuck off, dude.
Yeah, arrogant. And then if you watch the city council vote on it too, he's just like, all in favor, I all opposed, no, nay, 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 and he's all okay, approved. You're like, wait a second, no, nah, dude. Whatever they were approving to put it on
for the vote.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we'll see this. We'll see this. And like, what do you get? You get $1 for the city? What, like, you're not even trying to negotiate?
I'm not sure if he got to vote on it or not, or if he abstained from voting, but still, it's a kind of a conflict of interest, which nobody ever seems to be concerned with anymore.
Nope. Nowhere. All of our political systems are completely so full of corruption and greed that none of them are for the people anymore.
Well, I mean, that's not new. That's not
No, it's just
back.
It's just now, it's now that it's, you know, more in the
it's
open.
Just blatant.
It's blatant. It's literally like in your face now, where at least they used to pretend.
Well, there's, you know, there was bureaucracy. You could get through it. And if you, you know, had the gumption, you would. And then they'd be on the hook to be like, well, you did all the proper channels. Guess, you know.
Yep.
But now it's like, we don't need that regulation. That's gone. It's, you know, whatever. You know,
yeah, I don't have to follow the
money
rules.
Talks, and Can't it always be. Did. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're fucking with the community space. You know.
Yeah.
We do really.
I mean, that's
good
where every. That's what everything. That's where everything happens. Like if there's a protest, if there's a, it gives that those things a place to be.
There's even like I've played like. The lighting of the Christmas tree there, right? Like mm-hmm. for the city. And like, I know Kelly Proud, she's a badass musician in town. She pops up and does free concerts there all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, gives back to the community, invites people to these open jams in the middle of the Believe Plaza. Like, mm-hmm. there's so much that happens there. There's skate right. groups that pop up. And you know what I mean? Just like, come on.
The soup aid and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah. Come on. I mean, yeah.
It's just
capitalism being ugly right in front of you, and everybody's like, fuck that. And yeah. I appreciated the voices that rose out of that and were like, fuck that, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, because that's the whole thing. This is like something that I stand on in my music all the time at shows. It's like, we need to remember community. Like, community is the heart of humanity. We need to remember each other, right? I don't care if somebody has a different belief than you. At some point, and I mean, there's a difference between a different belief and like out and out hatred towards you, right? Like let's not get that crossed. Like right. if somebody is actually a danger to you or is impeding on your personal freedom or your personal space, that's different. But when you're talking about like, we should still be able to see each other as humans. You know, all humans are human, and somehow we've become so like just dehumanized in each other's eyes. It's like corporate eyes already looked at us that way, and then they've convinced half of our population that money is everything and billionaires are everything. And then like, this is success and this is cool. And like, also you should not care about each other. And we're like, yeah, sounds great. Let's go Monsanto. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, can we get back to remembering that everybody is human? Everybody matters. Like, This is not rocket science. This is the basis of humanity. Mm-hmm. this is a foundation of what it is to be human. Anyway, sorry. Soapbox. No. Soapbox over.
Right. How dare you?
Hey, I'm digging what you're saying, and I hear it loud and clear. I mean, you know, Rick, and then what bugs me too is they're like pretend like they're all into Jesus and stuff, and then they don't do what Jesus said.
Ah, that's a whole nother. I'll go down that rabbit hole with you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's like you don't, but you know you.
Yeah,
you're not doing what he said right now, like right in front of me, and then you're like, I'm the heathen, you know, because I don't have a cross around my neck.
You know what it reminds me of is, you know how back in the Middle Ages, normal people didn't know how to read? And so the priests and the pastors had all of this power to like tell people what was in the Bible. I feel like, you know, our literacy rate in America is fucking abysmal. And this whole, you know, decades long kind of under the radar movement to dumb down the humanity of America and like, you know, disconnect us from our food and disconnect us from real medicine and disconnect us from our community and create, you know, such disparity in wages that everybody has to work and nobody's home to raise any kids, no matter what gender you're choosing, right? And like all of these things, like we've come back around to this place where people don't know how to read or don't have the time to read or don't have the capacity to understand what they're reading. And they're just like being spoon-fed bullshit from people who pretend they're religious. And it's just the same fucking thing from 1,000 years ago or whatever, all over again. Like, what are we doing here?
No thoughts, Rick?
Oh, I'm just thinking about all the dangers because, like, it's always been the overly religious people have always scared me. But now it's also like my friends that show up that are like deep, deep, deep down conspiracy theory road.
Oh yeah.
Like that can get a little scary. Like you'll just be talking to somebody and then all of a sudden they'll say something and you're like, whoa, we're somewhere else now.
Yeah.
Like I don't know where we are.
Right.
And then I've got other friends who are really into who really seem to be about personal freedom, but then want to take other people's freedom for other things away and because something upset them and they don't want to ever have to hear that and because they don't, you know.
Yeah.
I really feel like everybody needs everybody. Like there's good aspects to each side of the spectrum, and I wish that we weren't so polarized. But it seems like the people that are the most angry are the ones that are choosing our candidates, and that's causing our candidates to be more and more extreme. And it's been so long since I like had a candidate I was excited about.
Oh, my God.
You know,
yes.
I mean, I don't like anybody. It's just, this sucks. sucks.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. So you mentioned anger. So, you know, I've got like 10 plus years of psych, behavioral health, nursing, all this stuff in my background. It was my minor in school, all that stuff. Anger is a secondary emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always speaking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for the majority of, and really the way our society is structured, it's fear.
Yep.
It's fear. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, they think that love and hate are opposites, but they're not. It's love and fear.
Yep.
And fear is where they really figure out how to control us. Like that's where the bullshit starts. Right.
Right.
And it's when people are afraid of each other, you know, then you start acting, you become reactionary instead of intentional. When you're constantly reacting to fear, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, you are reactionary to other things instead of really standing in your sovereignty and choosing your own way. You're always chasing the ball. You're always running from the ball. You're always like something else is directing your flow of thoughts, your flow of energy, your flow of choice, right? Instead of being able to stand in yourself and choose what it is that you're trying to build. And I think a lot of people are starting to kind of realize that. I've been noticing a big movement happening nationally in particular where people are starting to step out of those fear cycles and be able to see them more for what they are. But yeah, I mean, and it's both sides. It doesn't matter. It's all sides. The whole fucking government just needs ripped down and started over from scratch.
Well, and I wish that, you know? And I kind of feel like, I wish there was some kind of thing where, like, if you really feel strongly about something, you need to be able to articulate the opposite side's best argument.
Yeah, bring back speech and debate.
Yeah, like you need to, because I feel like we're all, like we all live in an echo chamber. And it's everybody I know is in one echo chamber or another, just like hearing the same stuff that they agree with over and over again every day.
Yeah,
and then when they do encounter somebody else who doesn't agree with them, they have no fucking idea where this person is from. And yeah, just name call and bolt.
Well, and they don't even understand the other side. Like, that's the thing. These algorithms have divided us so deeply.
Yeah.
That you don't even see the other side's argument. And like a lot of what's being fed both sides,
yeah,
is just gross misinformation with a heart of fear mongering. And yeah, I mean, I see that a lot. Like I tend to be much more liberal, very obviously very much for people's rights.
I think we all
but
are.
Right. But even on that side, like I look at some of the things now that I've, you know, in the past few years, especially like pulled off that lens of fear. I look at these things and I go, how are we wording this to people? What is it? How are you, like, you're really kicking up fear and this like, oh, avoid disaster kind of a thing. And at the same time, some of these things are being blown out of proportion. Some of them are very true, right? And some things are as evidenced by things that are actually happening in our communities, like really are sitting on some honesty. But at the same time, like, you can't trust anything that any side is saying. You know what I mean? And it's all emotionally manipulative because the government is one beast with two heads. And what we need is a grassroots rise up of people instead of corporations. Like, the American government has been a corporation for fucking decades now. It's not a government. That's a joke. Right? And so if they keep us divided and fighting with each other, and they do on every level, LGBTQ plus, racism, right? Immigration, literally every level of everything, right down to just getting each other to call each other stupid and uneducated.
With fear is the fuel.
With fear is the fuel, yeah. Like, all they're doing is making us ineffective. They're making us ineffective, and they're keeping a lot of what they're doing blindly covered, right? Like, Democrats... store-bought Democrats, a lot of them are, not all of them. Like, I'm really happy with some of the politicians that are coming out the grassroots. Like, Mamdani is doing some shit, right? Like, the numbers are behind him. They're showing some crazy results. But by and large, how easy is it for a human to stay human and enter into that level of corporate greed playground? Like, you think they don't get death threats? You don't think they get bribed? You think they don't... You know what I mean? Like, how many people can...
Check.
Right. On every level, their children are threatened. Like, the small things that they give up in exchange for this, that, or the other.
We
like,
spend so much of our time focused on the evils of the super filthy rich. We have no idea what those people's lives... They have a whole set of problems that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But I knew that from an early age on a smaller level because I for years and years and years, I cleaned rich people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in their house on a regular basis, seeing how their lives were lived and catching little glimpses of what they were like. And, you know, when you're a cleaning person, you can't help but see, like, what gets dirty, what's in their garbage when they throw. I mean, it's not like you're looking, but you're throwing away their garbage. You're seeing, like, what a life or a home or a family is like.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like I realized early on that the really rich people, a lot of them were fucking miserable.
Yeah.
And just treated everyone around them like dog shit. And mm-hmm. their kids hated them. Yeah. There were some really wonderful people too. I don't want to make it sound like everybody was like that. There were some outstanding.
It's a mistake to label everybody one thing.
But all my friends are like upset that everybody else is so rich and that we somehow got screwed and we have to suck up the bottom of the barrel. Like it in many ways, like, I don't know. You know what? Every fucking friend I have, I know, actually likes me.
Right.
You know what it's like to have a ton of money and everybody you meet, you have to think, are they just hanging out with me because I'm rich?
Well, and more than that, because they have so much weight. When you have that much money, you start to have power, right? And so their every daily move, no matter how big or how small, just going to a restaurant, depending on how visible they are, becomes political.
Ugh.
Like, they live in a political landscape without ever running for office.
And everybody's trying to get my stupid attention about everything on my cell phone with the ads and with all this stuff. Imagine how much more important their attention is to get grabbed by. I mean, I can't even imagine. I just, like, I like when I think about it, I'm just like, I don't know. And then, you know.
Well, and then I think that there's, like, two different ways to be rich, right? There's a rich that is based on greed, and there is a rich that is also based on lifting up your fellow humans and community. Like, there are some celebrities out there, like the first one that comes to mind is Will Smith's son. This kid is like, comes from money upon money upon money, but he keeps going back and creating things trying to help fix the world, right? He started that whole boxed water because water bottles were going to the landfills. Now he's got this food truck thing that's starting a whole movement in multiple cities where there are no prices and no charge on anything. And if you do choose to pay, you're expected to pay for more than one meal. Like, and you don't have to pay. So he's literally like feeding homeless communities based on this whole, like, I mean, there are people that are doing it right, right? Like, we know Michael Jackson, before he died, he gave millions and millions and millions of dollars to charities. There are people that do it right.
Mm-hmm. But Prince, they don't, too. And Prince would never let anyone know he was doing it. But when, after he died, like, in Minnesota, Minneapolis, people were, like, raising their hand, being all, we're pretty sure Prince gave us $1 million.
Yeah. You know. And there's actors that are still doing that on the sly, right?
And then, and Prince and Michael Jackson have some problematic issues in their lives too.
Oh yeah.
But I'm glad they did some good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, the general cutoff line there is I've never seen anybody that was giving back to community in a real way become a billionaire.
Right.
If they've given back to community in some small way, it's been a stunt. Right. Once they get to that level, it's kind of like, I don't know if you're really doing this for the right things. But again, mm-hmm. like you're saying, like, every human starts out with issues. None of us has a perfect childhood. We all have our damages. I think it's easier to bypass learning the lessons and doing the healing when you have enough money to throw at whatever you want in any given moment. And I think that is part of why we see some people with mega money really fucking rot from the inside out.
And that's what I mean, is that, like, we, on one hand, I feel like a lot of my friends are jealous and want and wish that that money was not all in one. But a part of me is like they kind of took a bullet for us, because mm-hmm. it's like, often it's just fucked up. It's just a messy, dirty thing that you wouldn't even want to be part of if you had the chance. And right. that really our lives are pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Do we need a trillionaire, anybody?
No.
Well, we have one, so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That, what does that say about this world?
You know how, like, the whole world could be balanced with that one person's money, mm-hmm. we could solve, like, 90% of the world's mm-hmm. problems, not just America's.
That's why I don't think anybody needs more than $999 million and 99 cents or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Once you get to that point, what the fuck? Really? Really?
Yeah.
I just, I don't.
It's just a pissing contest. Yeah. It's all ego, right? You're talking about people that have never done any healing. They're existing in a place that is purely ego fueled. It's all self-driven. Like, there's a reason. When people actually go through healing, whether it's through therapy or they figure it out on their own, right, there's always a point where they come back to community. There's always a point, okay, on the healing journey, there is one big doorway that we all have to step through. And before that, there is not true capability for self-awareness, right? Before you reach that point of really being able to see yourself and your own mistakes and own that and hold that, and forgive yourself. Up until that point, you're still operating from a place of protecting your ego, of trying to, you know, survive in whatever way, but truly understanding the depth and of the consequence of your behavior on others is not available. That's what self-awareness is. Really understanding your effect on others, really knowing your effect on the world, really being able to see yourself with truly open and honest eyes. And until you step through that doorway, and then once you step through it, you fucking see everything. And there's empathy. There is understanding. It's no longer, woe is me. I'm so hurt. Let me defend myself. It's, I see all of the moving parts. I understand things. I know why you're doing this. Mm. I know why I'm doing this. Now I can, like, start to, like, take it apart.
Feeling contempt for somebody who sucks, for lack of a better word.
Right.
You're like, oh, I feel empathy for you.
You can waste your whole life being mad at rich people you'll never meet.
And a lot of people will.
And you're not only, they're winning even more. because you're wasting mm-hmm. a bunch of energy on something that doesn't fucking matter.
And you're still operating from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Because anger is that secondary emotion.
Yes.
Right? You're still yeah. operating from this place of what happens when they have everything? What happens when they destroy the world? What happens when blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right? Their money is going to buy my unhappiness and my demise and all of these things that we're so worried about. Right? But in that, because that's where you're living, you're not actually able to fully embody your own choices to make the world different.
No, real power comes from being able to be at peace when you don't get your way. And being able to be at peace when fucking... when everything sucks and you and being and having a strategy for dealing with things that you're powerless over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's so much like, yeah.
Do you like Buddhism, Rick?
Many of my, several of my dearest, closest friends are really intensely Buddhist. And it's, and I understand a lot of the tenets and I understand like a lot of the history and we've, I've gotten to talk about and be around a lot of people that were, like that. I, my big thing outside of, my weirdo, cause I have a weirdo idea of Christianity that isn't exactly what most Christians believe. So that's outside of that, my favorite stuff is just reading the Tao. The Tao is my favorite. It's like, that's the thing that really spoke to me and got to me. And,
That's what it sounds like you're talking about,
and it's very when you get down to it, a lot of it is very similar. It comes mm-hmm. at it from a different perspective. The Tao is about letting things be what they are, and not trying to control and
not attaching,
But then Buddhism is more about like life is suffering and you know, so it comes out from a different spot, but they kind of reach
it.
The same place.
Yeah.
But they're coming at it from different perspectives.
My pharmacology teacher in college used to say there's 1,000 ways you can take to get to Walmart. They all lead to the same place. And I feel that way about religion in general. When you actually get to the heart of any religion that is unbastardized by extremist, you know, manipulations to make that fuel something political or power struggle or whatever, when you actually get to the heart, almost every single religion has the same intended goal. Like, it's just a different language for the same shit. So I don't actually follow any religion. I follow my own chest. And like, I was telling you guys earlier, I meditate a lot. I am very intuitive. I very much feel like I tap into the universe. And I don't, but I've studied every major religion out there. I was Wiccan for, years as a kid. I went to a Baptist school when I was growing up. My best friend when I was growing up was Mormon when I was 10, and I almost got baptized Mormon at 13 years old. Thank goodness I didn't do that. Bullet avoided. But, I've studied all of it, and I still very much like am open to a lot of metaphysical. I love quantum physics. I love,
Dude, I don't even know if there is
it's all the same.
I don't even know if there is a Taoist church. Like, I just, when I read the Tao book, I'm just... It makes so much sense to me. It's like this is the thing that makes me feel centered at a peace and at peace.
Well, and I think that's the point of there being dozens and dozens of different routes, right? Yeah. You get to choose what works for you, but they're all leading you to the same basic, love each other, be kind to each other, don't let fear control you, right? Because in all of those things, that's what the heart of that is the acceptance is not letting fear control what you think about things that you have no control over. Right? So, I mean, it's all the same. Meh.
Man.
I have a song for this.
Oh,
let's
right
hear
on.
It. Yeah. That's a great segue. We're getting to some deep stuff this week.
I'm definitely one of those for a good, deep conversation.
Love it.
So I told you I've written like 35 songs this year, but I also, just since the beginning of the year, but I also wrote a ton of songs last year. And, this one's actually maybe closer to a year and a half old. It's called Starlight. I know the world is hard, been shaped by broken hearts. Those with open arms can rise above the scars. They don't want you to know the power that you hold. The change that you control is yours and yours alone. So lead with love, keep looking up. Remember who we are made of starlight.
just feeling dark right now, and every little weight is pressing down. Remember that the pressure is what creates the treasure we need to survive and create the world we like. The light is in our hands, it's even brighter when we stand and lead with love. Keep looking up, remember who we are, we are made of stars.
Watching all those like 3 hour videos that talk about like the universe and the super like telescope that's seeing billions of years into the past.
JWST.
Like, yeah, it's so amazing. Like, and it's just so amazing for them to be like, and we had no idea, and then we looked out really far, and we saw something that was 13 fucking billion years ago. Uh-huh. We were looking at something 13 billion years old. Like, the idea that they can even tell that light has shifted 13 billion years.
Isn't that crazy?
And then decipher it into an image that makes any kind of sense is just like, the fuck?
I'm such a science nerd. God. I have been following JWST from the beginning.
It's so amazing. And I love, because I'm always making fun of religious people, like when they're like, well, the world is only 8,000 years old, and we found dinosaur bones, so God must have planted those there. And then you're just like, whoa. You know, like, but then you hear the JWS, you hear that telescope sees, like, they're like, and then we looked at a universe that was, we looked at mm-hmm. 13 billion years, 13 billion miles, light years away. And what we saw, instead of seeing like a primal galaxy that just had the Big Bang, they saw fully formed galaxies
yep.
that shouldn't have been there. Yep. They shouldn't have had time to develop.
Whoa.
And it was just like the religious people finding the dinosaur bones. They mm-hmm. immediately went, maybe galaxies formed easier back then.
Right?
Like, it was, it made me feel so much better about religious people. I'm like, we're all like that. We're all like clutching onto our ideas and not ready to let go. And how dare you?
You know what? There's an argument.
What I believe.
There's an argument that I use with this, with religious people. All the time when this happens, because I've obviously have been embedded in a lot of those religions. But the first day, what is the definition of a day? The rotation of the earth. The first day happened before the earth existed. So why do we insist on saying that it's a literal day?
Right.
Why do we not understand that maybe day was the best way that a primitive people could express an era?
Right.
Right? Why are we so, like, there's details like that in the Bible all over. We're like, okay, so the first day he said, let there be light. Okay, there's still no planet. So how the fuck did you measure that 24 hours? And is that really what we're standing on? Right? On the third day, there was this. Okay, so that was the era of animals. Guess what? Dinosaurs are fucking animals. And they were here before people. So You know what I mean?
But the, like, but the whole thing is like the Bible has that big long thing of like, okay, this is everything was made right now, and then like, and then here are these people, and they this guy lived this many years, this guy lived this many years, this guy lived this many years, and right. La 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 la, and those add up to 8,000. So I'm a Bible literalist. It has to be 8,000. But that's one interpretation. The Catholic Church right. is like, you can believe that if you want, and you can also believe that it's a poem on creation that might not be exact, and right. that what a day is to God is not a day to. I mean, there's every there right. there are groups that totally accept that in a more reasonable way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now I just like a light bulb went off. Like how in that Nolan movie where he goes into space and you know, time here goes much faster and people are mm-hmm. are aging. So when you come back from outer space, you're still young mm-hmm. and they're much older. And
time is relative.
So, yeah, like
time is
you
relative.
Made it in a day. That could be like, what, a day in space, which is like, what, 22 minutes or some shit, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, or even if it was 24 hours on his watch.
Right.
Right? Like, there's a really great physicist that I love to read, Carlo Rossi. And he wrote a whole book. It's very small, but it's a very thick, dense read on time. And it will blow your mind. Time on the planet moves at different speeds with different levels of gravity.
Yeah.
In places where there's more gravity, time moves faster.
Right.
Right? Like, that's... Time is not a concrete measurement anywhere
fixed,
in the universe,
no.
right? So, like, why are we so set on arguing the semantics instead of just understanding this was a word-of-mouth story passed down for hundreds and thousands of years before it was written down? And there was, you're talking about people that didn't know how to read and write, or very, you know, only certain people did. They didn't have a scientific understanding. They didn't have fucking clocks, right? So, like, how are we dying over the anyway?
That's but there, yeah, there, yeah. But there are some everybody has core beliefs that get hung on different things.
Yeah,
we all have core beliefs that if somebody bumps into them, we'll bristle up immediately.
Right.
You know, and those people that might be their like what they hold on to, what holds them together, is that this book is perfect.
Right.
And I don't know if I want to like make everybody like on this grander level, but at the same time, like I don't need to be. I remember talking to one of my relatives who was married to one of my other relatives, and we were having an intense religious conversation, and I was trying to bring him around to the idea that maybe that book isn't as perfect as you think it is, and at one point he just looked at me and was like, either every word in there is of the truth or every word's a lie. And I suddenly realized, holy shit, do I really want to be poking around? Is this really that important that I get him to agree with me on something that could utterly tear down everything that he believes, and what would that lead to? I kind of want to respect my fellow human, because everybody's human, like you said,
right?
Respect their choice to, like, you know, and everybody gets there in a different way. But I mean, I'm just saying, people got core beliefs, and sometimes you don't want to be bumping into them. Sometimes, you know, just playing around with them like it's fine.
Right. I had a moment mm-hmm. like that with my drummer. He's been on this show before, and he's so sweet. He's autistic. Mm-hmm. And he's very careful about cleanliness. And we were camping and touring through Salt Lake this week. And he was worried about the eggshells from me cooking breakfast. He was like, I don't want to get salmonella. I'll use a different plate. And I was like, hey, Luke, do you ever eat over easy eggs? And he was like, yeah. But I saw that if I had told him in that moment, hey man, over easy eggs are raw eggs. You've been eating raw eggs your whole life and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I would have just shattered something inside of him. And I just went, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Pick my battles.
Pick the battles. And you're right too, Rick. Why even battle? I even pick one.
Right.
Right.
Like, just fucking.
Right. People will come to it when they want to.
And you guys,
they will.
You got regular beliefs that are things you believe, and then you got beliefs that you hang those beliefs on, and then the beliefs that are hung on that. And then you get down mm-hmm. to that core shit. And we've all done it. We're like, we're talking to somebody and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden you just like say one thing, and all of a sudden their fucking whole demeanor changes.
Yeah.
And I stop and I go, oh.
I stepped on something.
I just bumped into a core belief on accident. I didn't even know. that I and it's like you accidentally bumped into someone's testicle. You know, like they're like, this is a sore spot that needs to be kept sacred. You know, and so I try to respect others.
Yeah.
And even when what they believe I might think is fucking dumb. So, you know.
Well, I mean, we do what serves us, right? And everybody's on their own journey. Like, this humanity is a very full dimensional spectrum. There's a reason there's 1,000 ways to get to Walmart, right? And so, like, we each need to do what serves us. And life is not fucking easy. So I think the biggest thing that I can just say is if we can turn towards love and away from fear, it'd be a lot easier for all of us.
Yeah. The Cure song, Us or Them, is like a song, and it just goes off on, like, I don't need your this, and I don't need your that, and I don't want your this, and I don't want your that, and take away your us or them, take away your us. And it's all about, like, and then at the very end of the song, the last line is, the only way this ever ends is me. And you stop and you go, because we're so busy talking about everybody else's us or them.
Yep.
Like, what's my us or them?
Mm-hmm.
What's the way that I, like, other people?
Yes.
And make them something that in my head is less than human. Like, and that's the real battle. That's the part that I could actually do something about. I can't fix some jerk that lives halfway across the country, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
No,
am I getting like angry because I'm sick for so long? Am I sounding like a dick? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, I get it.
I'm usually just goofy and
no, I love it.
I heard a really cool I don't know what you call them, an idea or a parable or something. I don't know. But anyway, Josh Johnson's a comedian. Very. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Josh Johnson. You do.
Yeah.
Wow. What a guy, dude. Like, I really, really like this guy. I think he's 30-something, so I'm trying not to call him a kid, but he's got boyish face. Anyway, dude is very cool comedian, very, very intelligent. And with it, and he said at the beginning of his new special, he says something that's to me was very profound, and I loved it. It was if we decorate time with music and we decorate space with art, then comedy decorates reality.
Ooh.
And I feel like sometimes on this show, this is a comedy space. We like not curated comedy or anything, but just we're a bunch of
goofy,
funny people who hang out and say stupid shit. But so we rarely get all deep and philosophical on the show, and we definitely shy away from politics as much as possible. But it's good to talk about some deep thoughts with Cat Hart.
Sorry, guys.
name of the episode is changing.
I do have other stuff to talk about. I know when Kim reached out to me about being on the show, she was interested in talking about what I'm doing in the community now, which is a whole new role. I've stepped up as entertainment manager for The Depot and Lead Dog, both on 4th Street. And with that whole mindset of community first, trying to create and curate a community-supportive musical space in both of those venues, we're just getting started. So, you know, it takes time to build stuff and kind of get them going.
Mm-hmm.
But we did officially get a grant from the city for the Brewery District. And we are starting a series of concerts. We were hoping it was going to start in June, but paperwork and bureaucracy, it took forever. It's going to start in August, called First Fridays on 4th. And the whole core block, the Alpine, Black Rabbit, right, the Jesse, Abby's Highway 40, Lead Dog, the Depot, the Barrel House at the Depot, which Outback holds like 300. Generally, and you know, there's a handful of
others.
These
are all walking distance from each other.
Yep, yeah. All in the same block, right? We've been given a match grant, so whatever money we spend, the city will match us on that to create this concert series. And this is we're a go all the way through the end of the year. And the first Friday in October will be Offbeat, so that's very curated. But this whole thing is partnered with the Offbeat Association, and we're really excited about it. It's meant to revitalize that whole neighborhood, and the goal is to create a centralized neighborhood that people always know we'll always have music instead of one-off shows. Because we all know COVID tore apart Reno, right? There were little neighborhoods, kind of little pockets where you could go and see music on any weekend, and now they're all scattered, right? You go see one show, and then you're like, oh, where to now? Oh, there's nothing in walking distance. So the goal is, and I've had meetings with some of the other business owners in the district, and like really coming together as a group and with intention and like overlapping show times, giving consideration for places that serve food and like, you know, and throwing a block party basically once a month where the street's still open and it's free for the community. That's the big part. These shows are not charged.
Ooh, nice.
And on top of that, we're sticking...
Free show Friday.
Right. Nice. And on top of that, we're sticking with a regional radius. So there's a heavy emphasis on local musicians. I haven't booked anything past Offbeat yet, but we are working on it. And then they're going to try to apply for it for another 6 months for January through June. And the goal
is... October.
No, this begins in August.
Okay. So
August,
what's going on in
September.
August?
I have to look and see who I've got booked. Because I had... So I had stuff booked
Friday
for
in
July.
August.
The first Friday in August. It's going to be... So the Depot will have a show. Lead Dog will have a show. Black Rabbit, the Alpine... and Lake Tahoe Ale Works upstairs, for sure. But there has to be a minimum of like 5 or 6 venues that get involved in every one. So I'll just keep an eye out, especially if you follow Offbeat or if you follow me or any of those businesses in the district that you're interested in. We're pooling all of our marketing resources and really going in on this as a big community push. And the goal is, even though this Friday thing is only, you know, once a month, the goal is to create enough of a awareness that we can move as quickly as the crowd allows us into having music every Friday and just becoming a music neighborhood all the time. Will from Black Rabbit, he's got this vision. He wants it to be like Nashville or
Austin
or NOLA. Yeah, right? Like someplace where you just know you're going to come there on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, you're going to find something to
do. You want to go see punk rock? That's over there. You want to go see blues? That's right there. You want to go see jazz? It's over there.
Right.
Heavy metals over here at this bar.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So big things, exciting things. And I know we've talked about some of your bands. I'm definitely interested in getting you guys in. I was going to try to do... I've been kind of toying with an idea for a Halloween show because of Glitter Bats, particularly. But I think it'd be really cool to do a really big full band ticket. But it's just, we'll talk later.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll that is a big thing because I definitely want to have, and Roxy, Kali, you know, I love those, that whole group. So we haven't been ready for it yet. So far, nobody knows we're there. So here's your warning. We're there. We're doing shows already. We're starting small. And we're trying to get enough following, and we need the community to come out and support so we can continue to grow it and give you guys a regular, dependable place for your local music.
Nice. The music district.
Yeah, baby.
That'd be cool.
That's the goal.
All right. Well, speaking of music, we have a little segment on the show. It's brand new for you, Cat Hart. Hoochie's a 5-timer today. Congratulations on coming here 5 times and performing for us. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We don't have any patches, so I apologize for that. We ran out the first time. Still, we didn't have enough, even when all the 5-timers came. I remember I was one shy, and I felt so bad about everybody got, sorry, man, you know. Anyway, but we have a new game, and it's called Good Song, Bad Song. And John from Roxy Colley and Glitter Bats, keyboardist, me and him spend a lot of time together. And so we're in the car a lot, and we have a thing where I ask him his opinion on a song because it started with him judging Elton John, and I'm like, whoa, that's a pretty strong opinion over somebody who the rest of the world kind of agrees is a really great songwriter. But so like, he's kind of a music snob.
Music snob, so really super smart and kind of judgy.
Yeah.
And we love him very much.
Yes. And we'll spin the wheel to see what random band we get. I'm going to tell you the name of the band, not the song or the performer. And you have to guess whether John thinks it's a good song or a bad song.
Oh.
Are you all ready?
Okay.
Yeah, the band is.
All right. And we'll spin it. Young MC landed on Young MC this week. Okay, let's see. Well, Young MC only had a couple of hits, so let's see which one it is. Oh, wait. Not that. We'll have to cut that out. All right. Here we go.
Oh, wait. So what do you think?
Oh, yeah. We have to judge. Sorry.
Nick.
Yeah, sorry.
Nick doesn't know the game.
Good song or bad song?
My guess is that John's going to say bad song.
What do you think, Rick?
I'm going to say good song just as like a crazy, just because I want to be like running against Kat.
Uh-huh. And John is not predictable. We had a room full of people who knew him. Everybody knew John except for one person. The only person who got the good song, bad song right was the person who did not know John.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying? So he's unpredictable.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Young MC.
The John and Nick. Young MC, bust a move. What do you think, John?
Well, Nick, I think that if this song came out today, it wouldn't be very good. People would say, well, that's kind of dumb. And it sounds like, you know, Young MC. But when this is coming out, I mean, this is like a foundational moment in hip-hop, right? Like, this is hip-hop's finding its energy. It's finding its voice. This is a part of its voice. This is a building block. Sometimes when a song is important enough, it's just a good song. And for even as much as Bust a Move doesn't hold up, it's a good song.
Oh!
Oh!
You got it, Rick.
Oh, good job, Rick.
In your face!
Oh, shit, that's Flea. Well done, Flea.
There you go.
That's
Young
Flea
MC.
On bass.
Featuring
wow.
Flea on the bass. Bust a Move.
Nice.
GS, good song.
Man, I bet on John not being jaded, and I won.
Oh.
How did that happen?
That was good.
I don't know.
That was good.
Yeah, I really thought when I asked him, he was going to say, this is a novelty song and a one-hit wonder and just, you know.
Yeah, but he shit all over Plush last week.
Oh.
Yeah, he Stone Temple Pilots. He said it was a bad song because it was made up of
it's
16
a, yeah, it's
good
a
songs.
Stew of good things that's all just like bullshit. Yeah,
isn't that most music?
Really? Huh.
And for you people out there... like one of our guests recently who say, I don't know who John is. What the fuck? Who's John? How am I ever going to decide whether I can pick good song or bad song? I don't know John. John will be our guest next week. And he's bringing in all his favorite local bands. And
no.
We're going to talk about his life and get to know John so that if you're a listener, you'll
holy
say, oh, I know
shit.
Who John is. We had that episode with him.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
And maybe we can grab a couple of songs to do good song, bad song with him. Or even just say a song out loud and see what he says if he knows it. And he'll
right.
tell you his opinion. So that's you get that to look forward to next week.
Sounds like fun.
Folks, I got a show announcement, and then we'll get a Cat Heart to play a couple songs at the end here. Let's see. The Glitter Bats, speaking of, are playing in Fallon at the Rhythm Tap House. That's going to be Saturday, June 27th, with the Reno DeVilles, the Glitter Bats, Rhythm Tap House, Fallon, Nevada. Looks like I'd get there at 7. Show probably starts at 8. 1805 West Williams Street or West Williams Avenue. There we go. And it's cool because Jesse from Will Schamberger Band is the
Ooh.
Owner out there.
Oh,
and
Jesse.
Will's hooking up the show, the booker. So we'll get to go see some of our friends out there.
Nice.
On the east side. And it's Chris is one of our guitar players. Chris is his birthday that day. So we're going to party with the bats
nice.
Like it's Chris's birthday because it is.
That's amazing.
And it's nice to get a little out of town. And Fallon, like when I'm out there, fucking, it feels like what Reno was in the 30s.
You weren't know? Here in the 30s. How do you know?
Just from reading City of Trembling Leaves by Walter Van Tilburg Clark.
Yeah.
It made me love the size of the city back then is comparable to what the size of Fallon is. And the way everything's all old, when you walk in the middle of downtown Fallon, it's got all those like old like 1920s and 30s houses and buildings and the theater. And it has that feel. I just –
that's
that
right.
part I love.
I think I've gigged out there once and we just went to the gig and then a hotel and home.
Oh,
so
my
I
God.
Didn't really – get to explore.
I've been there a couple times and just walked around that downtown district talking with friends and having a good time and just looking at what the city looked like. And I was just like, shit, man. It's kind of – there's some cool things about being in a little – in a smaller city, you know? I love that.
Mm.
And the people that I know from Fallon are all people I really like a lot, so.
What I like about smaller towns too, like getting out of Reno, is like where Reno seems so much bigger than that town, and there's the desire to fucking rock the fuck out is way stronger out there. They need to rock out.
Yeah,
we are spoiled here. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, and like, oh, of course, there's a bunch of bands playing. What do I care?
They fucking appreciate you when you go out east. I know that. I like playing out there because it's like new people who are fucking very cool and encouraging.
Yep.
And then they usually invite you back. I know Roxy got invited back several times, so like we love playing out there.
Hell yeah.
Whether it's Fernley or Fallon or Winnemucca, whatever. Going east Nevada, I, you know. I like to visit and come entertain and come home to Reno, get that feeling of home. Yeah.
Bringing it around town.
Nice.
Yes.
So okay. That's coming up. We talked about Friends of P last week, which is a great success. Just another little recap. Mikey has been able to go give the checks out to all the schools. We knew we got word that one school's special needs was – needed extra help, so we gave them $1,000 check instead of just a
$500.
So. And yeah, and it just keeps it's snowballing. The Friends of P thing next year is going to be even bigger.
Yes,
and we plan to raise, you know, set the goal even higher because we beat our goal by so much, like really almost doubled. I mean, we only wanted to help 3 classes. We helped 10 classes.
Wow.
You know, and then still got our 10 cards to people. So, like, in total, after the Shields and shit, because we just happened to – somebody from Shields was there and was like, we have grants we have to give out. We'd like to give it to you. And we're like, fucking, this is awesome.
Yes.
So we got a couple grand from them to give to 4 more classrooms and –
I love that.
And just congrats, Mikey. You're doing a great job, and this is a really important thing, and all the energy that you've put into it and everybody else has put into it that you're leading. You know, I'm just proud of my wife and what she's doing and our daughter, you know. And like you said, too, like in life, those moments that come having my autistic daughter is like really opened my eyes to my personal like biases and ignorance. Mm-hmm. Just because why wouldn't I ignore something that doesn't affect me? You know, that's the same with everybody else. So I like kind of want to give people a break.
Yeah.
Even though it's really hard because a lot of people are very, very far from that place and are very rude and very clueless. And I just got to remember this doesn't, they don't have a fucking clue what any of this is like or, you know, and that's another thing with John being my friend is he has an autistic son too. So we can bond over stuff that we can relate to each other more than people that don't have that.
Well, and situation. I feel like I need to step back and just say I love Luke, and he's like I tend to have neurodivergent friends. I have one of my daughters and we're all pretty sure she's autistic even though she's never been officially diagnosed. I have those tendencies. I just have grown up in a different era and masked really well
I
my
think
whole
a
life.
A lot of us have.
Right?
Being with my daughter has opened up a whole like eureka moments all over where I'm like, holy shit, some of the same things. Like some of my friends, I watch them stim. They don't know that they're fucking, you're on the spectrum, bro.
Yeah.
You're stimming like a motherfucker, dude.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's just, it's one of those things where like, knowing and having some understanding for how someone's brain works is just, especially if you're going to be friends with them or, you know, be close with them, it's just helpful so that you can be more considerate and compassionate and understanding because neurodivergent versus non-neurodivergent, and I am firmly neurodivergent as are just about everybody I know, right? But those interactions are just totally on different levels.
I don't know why. I always just thought people have to think the way we're all human. We're all built the same. We have to like there's some core things that we all have to all have. And I just was so dumbfounded when I was like, oh, it's not that way. It's not even close to that way. Like,
right.
That's, I'm crazy to even think that, you know, just 'cause I just thought people were able to have the same. And so I get called out for being an ableist, and now I have to look all that up. And, oh, fuck, I am, you know? Oh, fuck, I really am. Like, I didn't understand that. And I'm been working really hard to not be like that, of course. But being with my daughter has just shown me that Earth, there's 1,000 ways to get to Walmart, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just because I've always used the same route and the same other, like, the same common route that everyone uses. It's like,
right.
Well, there are thousands of other people coming from different roads, man. And,
right.
And, yeah, you always felt like, oh, I get that. I'm the sick, open-minded hippie guy when I was younger. And you know, and yeah. I think I get it. And it's like, dude, I was not even close to understanding that the individualness of every single person.
Yeah. Like, literally, when you really break it down, like, every potential experience exists.
Yeah.
That's insane.
There's room in life for every experience.
Right. But, I mean, like, you know, we think about, like, we have this little tiny piece of the pie.
Yep.
Like, you're talking about driving to Walmart. Have you ever been in the car with somebody, and you're leaving from a place like your house, but you're not driving, and you're going to someplace that you usually go to? And they take a different route than you would. And like how much that fucks with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's jarring.
It's faster this other way. What are you doing, right? Like mm-hmm. We all only can see what we can see. Your perspective is only what you can see, right? And every time we grow and we step into another level, your perspective expands. And there's got to be some forgiveness for that too. Like we're all learning. Right.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. when we were growing up, like the R word was common slang and nobody thought about it. And like all of these other, we didn't even consider it. And now mm-hmm. like, you know, the world has changed because we have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. And And your drummer is one of my most favorite people in the whole world.
Isn't he amazing?
I have spent just like countless hours with that man, and I fucking adore him so much.
I do too.
He makes me so happy. We've done so much work together. It's almost exclusively his music is all the music that I play when I'm on vacation.
I love
that. I love all of his music so much. It's just, it tickles my brain in this special way.
His lyrics are so well written.
Oh my God.
So well written.
It just takes me away and I'm completely, yeah. But outside of all that, like I absolutely treasure every moment that I get to spend with him.
Same. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we did this tour, it was a duo tour.
God.
So it was just the two of us in a car. Right, and camping and like hanging out. It was cool.
And he just seems to be like exploding and out of his shell and just having this like mm-hmm. like great, because I mean when I first met him, I don't know what he was actually doing in his it took him a little time to like open up but it seemed like, I mean, I don't know that he was like going out or doing anything or playing anything, and I'm just like, man, you're fucking amazing. You should. What are you? Are you hiding? Because you shouldn't be.
Like, I think he was.
God.
But I mean, isn't that part of the path we all take? We all have to learn how to like accept ourselves and love ourselves and find some confidence. And you know, for the first year,
I did.
Right, the first year that I knew him, he came to my open mic, and I knew him as a songwriter, and then it was a whole year. And then one day he showed up at the blues jam with no guitar and somebody's stick bag. And I was like, who'd you carry those for? And he just kind of stopped and mm-hmm. looked a little like thrown by the question and said, me. Mm-hmm. And he got on that drum kit and I was like, you must be my drummer. Get in the van right now.
And he's all, yes.
Yeah. It took him a second. He thought about it and he was like, I would love to.
Luke's cool, man. And you guys, that he did the April Fool's episode.
I know.
And that was one of our most popular episodes of the season.
So good.
Sure. Yeah. The numbers are really good.
So
great.
So I was like one of the only people that knew about that before it happened, besides who he'd talk to here to set it up.
Yeah.
And he was so tickled in the planning of that. Ugh. Like, he's so good at, like, my brain, my neurodivergence, I am calendar blind, time blind, really badly. And he'll just, like, hey, you remember that show on Friday? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's such a planner. Mm-hmm. He's so good at the details. He was so into every level of that on a... Like, that was so much fun to watch him building that and getting ready. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It was so yeah, it was fun. Fuck. It was fun to let go of the reins and just be like, what are we doing? This is,
yes.
this is crazy.
Oh, which, by the way, the whole band, Feral Heart, which is Luke on drums, Arthur Kerr, a.k.a. Zive, on my second guitar, Jasmine on bass, and Guy Hartshorn on tenor sax. Through a pedal board, he plays it like a psychedelic guitar. It's so good. We are playing the first Thursday at the museum for the month of July.
Nice.
So, and Rachel McElhaney is hosting instead of Spike. Spike had to be somewhere else, which is cool because, you know, Rachel's been in both of my all-girl bands over the years. And so it's going to be a really, really fun night. So it's, I don't know that we have any other full band gigs on the schedule at the moment. We've been really busy in the spring, but it's a chance to come say hi to all of us.
Nice.
So, right on.
Oh, and speaking of Spike, we should say thank you, Spike, for hosting the Pride event in Carson on Saturday. And Jamie and everybody down at Brewery Arts Center.
Spike, I was still sick. I wanted to go so bad. I'm going to make it next year, I swear to God.
Some notable names, you know, Lacey Madison was there with her Nothing Like a Dame, which is still going from the 90s, man. She's back on her shit. That's fucking awesome.
I still have a t-shirt. I love it.
And Retro Radio Dolls were out there, right?
Yeah, Retro Radio Dolls, Blunderbust. And then in the punk rock Black Box, Mikey got to go with Nosebone and open up for Heterophobia.
Damn, nice. That must have been amazing.
Yeah. Oh, so I stayed home with the baby, and she went out and was a rock star for the day, and it was really cool. And thanks, Spike, for throwing these events and all the work you're doing over there, and Jamie, too, new girl who used to intern on our show. We love you guys. And
yeah, we do.
And happy Pride, everybody.
Woo.
Right on. Okay, well, we're going to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Do you want to do a little music sesh, a couple songs, or one long one, or whatever you want to do, Kat? And I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Again,
thanks
happy
for having
five timers.
Woo!
Something to be proud, wear that badge.
Hell yeah.
Invisible badge with pride.
yeah. Yeah, I think two is probably good.
Cool. And then, let's see. Lord Strice helped me out this weekend every week. Thank you, Lord Strice. Reverend Rory, we love you. Kim, we love you.
We miss you guys.
Pat, I hope you're feeling better, buddy. Love you. And everybody else. Chewbacca, I didn't forget Chewie this week. Chewie, I miss you. And we'll see you soon when you get back. All right, that's it. Life is short, and we love you. Thanks, Cat Hart.
Thank you, guys.
We're talking out of our ass.
This one's called Hello, Darling.
Some may say that love is easy. It's never been that way for me. Giving up my heart in pieces, I always saw but was never seen. They scavenged me apart at the seams, feeding all of their own demons, never thinking too much of me. I had to learn to stop giving myself away. Now I'm happy on my own with a full heart and a healthy home. I don't need anyone else to set me free. Oh, so I'll take a deep breath before I fall off that edge into the unknown again. Love, take it slow. I've only just become whole. I was prepared for a different end. Never thought that I would try again. Mm-hmm. trust in my intuition. Now I can't trust my own decisions. Feels like I'm falling apart at the seams. Swallow my heart, I'm feeling queasy. You stepped in and it's so easy to love you just the way you are. Oh, so I'll take a deep breath before I fall off that edge into the unknown again. Love, take it slow. I've only just become whole. I was prepared for a different end. Never thought that I would try again. This way, I'd learn to love myself, and then you'd say, hello, you're not alone. But love doesn't play by the rules we set. Not always happy alone before you said, hello, darling, I'm home. So I'll take a deep breath before I fall off that edge. Try again with you, my love. I think I'll try again.
That's a pretty one.
Sweet.
Yeah. Shanks. This one's called This Is. I wrote it on Easter Sunday. I had this really beautiful day. You know, holidays are hard for me. I don't really have family, I mean, besides the kids that I've created. And I found myself in this really beautiful position of, like, sitting on this giant back porch at the end of a beautiful meal, and the kids were playing, and the sun was going down, and the windows on the house were open, and voices and laughter are just kind of drifting out across me, and somebody had made me a cocktail, and it was gorgeous, and I was just sitting there, and this song came out. It's called This Is.
Sun on the back porch with a drink in my hand. Everything looks a little bit more like yes I can. While you're sitting in a sunbeam soaking up the little things that make life grand. It's hard to exist in a place that happiness doesn't understand. This is what it's really about. Sunshine, blue skies, more love, less doubt. Breathe in, breathe out, ground yourself down. This is what it's really about. Sometimes life gets out of hand and brings you down. No one else seems to understand why you're feeling loud. But someone's been here before. They've led the way and unlocked the door. Even when it's dark outside, you're not the only one who's tried. This is what it's really about. Sunshine, blue skies, more love, less doubt. Breathe in, breathe out, ground yourself down. Thank you.
while the little birds are singing their song. With my bare feet on the ground, fresh air flowing all around. Can anything really be wrong? While the little birds are singing their song. With my bare feet on the ground, fresh air flowing all around. Cause this is what it's really about. Sunshine, blue skies, more love, less doubt. Breathe in, breathe out, ground yourself down. This is what it's really about. This is what it's really about. This is what it's really about.